You ready to fight? I'm ready to fight. I'm in the mood to fight tonight. And most every night. And welcome to Hagmann. It is Thursday, March 27, 2025 in the year of our Lord. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of the program and for your support as well as our sponsors. Thank you to healthwithdoug.com. You know, a 2024 survey. Okay. I talked about this before, about collagen. You know about this, folks. Collagen supplements can boost skin hydration by 14%, improve its elasticity by almost 23%, which is significant, and reduce wrinkles by 20%. Just, what, 3 months, 12 weeks? Come on, man. This is your sign to use collagen to transform your skin from the inside out. But unfortunately, most collagen typically found on store shelves, it's just filled with junk. You know that. That's why I've been using this amazing product now for a while. And I really love the results. Unlike other collagen supplements, it's used as a top five types of collagen for skin health. It makes a big difference. Premium collagen blend works together to help reduce visible signs of aging, reduce wrinkles, and promote youthful glow, promote elasticity, skin hydration, the whole nine yards. Now, I mix it in my juice in the morning. Sometimes I'll make a smoothie, whatever, but you can put it in your coffee. You can do whatever you want. I'm telling you, it's you take it once and forget about it. And that's what I like about it. So try it yourself. Start healing your skin. Place your order while it's over half off right now at healthwithdoug.com. That's healthwithdoug.com. And when you do that, you're going to get a couple of other bonuses that you can't get elsewhere, or you won't get elsewhere, I should say. You'll receive a free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, free ebook titled 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, and so on. A 6-day satisfaction guarantee, free shipping, but you got to order now. Once again, this offer is only available at healthwithdoug.com. That's healthwithdoug.com, healthwithdoug.com. All right, Steve's going to be with me in a little while here. He is running late, which, I get it. You know, there's a lot in the news, and one thing that really is just really hacking me off. It's just hacking me off. it's now known as Signalgate, right? Come on, man. Signalgate. You know, that call, the text, the communication. Look, Signal is a...
Come on, man.
Exactly. Joe, and I'm going to mention Joe in this, Joe Biden in this, the Biden regime in this, because at American Thinker, Andrea Woodberg had published a column. It was today, earlier today, and I'm pretty much in line with that thinking. Two new revelations about the signal leak, along with two theories. Now, we use encrypted platforms. Thomas Matthew Crooks used encrypted encryption platforms for communication. Of course, we'll never see that, right? He wasn't tied into Jeffrey Goldberg at that time. So, you know, but it's out there. But anyway, you know, this really is, for most of us, it's, and I hate this word, nothing burger, okay? It's just nothing there. It wasn't a high security chat. It just wasn't. It wasn't that. It didn't compromise anything. The mission that they were referencing was successful. Goldberg, you know, I dislike these people like Goldberg, who grossly exaggerate the nature of the plans that were discussed. Oh my gosh, you know, it was a mission critical thing. No, you know, just shut up. You know, the people within that text, chat, whatever you want to call it, they didn't say anything that would embarrass the administration. But for the people on the left, and for Judge Boasberg, which I'm going to get to in a second, the Goldberg's auditing of the chat really is good, because it fills the airways with the claims for the left now that the Republicans, the right, the conservatives, the Trump regime or Trump administration, as opposed to the Biden regime, were incompetent. They're incompetent. They're jeopardizing national security. Oh, that's rich. That's rich. Hillary Diane Rodham, the yak Clinton, deliberately ran all State Department info through an unsecured server. Yeah, no problem. Joe Biden stored classified documents in his garage next to his Corvette. That's right. You just follow the white powdery lines. Yeah. The Biden regime opened the border to every hostile person, entity, group on the planet. And they suddenly give a crap? They suddenly care about national security? Goldberg at the Atlantic and everyone on the left can stuff a sock in it. Shut up. You don't give two craps about anything. You want to see the country burn. Now, when you look at it.
Who in the hell does he think he is?
Come on, I'll take you out back. I'll take you out back. Out back, you know, behind the gym like you wanted to with President Trump. Let's rock.
Tim Walz is waiting for you.
Okay, let's go. That man. Is that a man? Walz? Jeez. Walz. I think his wife, Gwen's got more testosterone than he does, but that's a different story. What a crackpot she is. Wow.
He'll attack you with open ham punches.
Yeah. Through the Walz. Jeez, remember those? I mean... Turn the page. Turn the page. Remember that? How cringy that was? And how cringy Walz... But anyway, but back to Signalgate. Okay, so you've got... There were two stories that came out. Okay, just so everyone's on the same track. One suggests a potentially compromised bad actor in the orbit of Michael Walz, not to be confused with Walz. Okay. And the other suggests the possibility of a serious deep state attempt to take down the President Trump's administration. I'm telling you. So Michael Walz, President Trump's national security advisor, the guy behind the Signalgate, is the one who put together the Signal chat. However, that doesn't mean he personally did that, right? Let me tell you something. I don't personally put together Signal chats, but I do once they're put together, or I'm sorry, encrypted chats. I'm not going to disclose which platform we use, but we use for investigative work, we use encrypted platforms. But I wouldn't know how. I mean, I guess I kind of sort of would, but not really. So Michael Walz, it doesn't mean that he personally put this together. Instead, he delegated the job to a staffer. Now, Laura Loomer did a great job on this. She thinks, you know, she's got the goods on that staffer. And this is where it gets really interesting. If her information is accurate, and based on everything I've seen, I have to say, yeah, it looks to be. Now, I'm not throwing stones at this staffer. I'm just going to give you info. You decide. Alex Wong. Now, this is from Laura Loomer. Now, Alex Wong, the Chinese deputy national security advisor appointed by President Trump, who was at the center of the Signalgate scandal, happens to be married to U.S. Attorney Candace Chiu Wong. Say that fast. Candace Chiu Wong. Sounds like something on the Chinese menu. I don't know.
Now, love you she's long a Chinese. Time.
What's that?
Love you long time.
Love you long time. Number, please. Candace Chiu Wong is a Chinese woman who was, yes, one of the key attorneys involved in, guess what, going after every January 6er. Yeah. And her father-in-law, Alex Wong's father-in-law, has direct ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Huh. Go figure. The father of Candace Chiu Wong the wife of Alex Wong, the Trump-appointed Chinese deputy of the National Security Advisor under Michael G. Waltz, I'm sorry, who is now at the center of this. You can read all about this. I'm not going to get into, go layers deep here.
You have the Wong number.
I mean, seriously. Tom Cotton put out a statement. Alex Wong and his wife, Candace, are complete and total patriots, 100% MAGA warriors who always put America first. Maybe they are. I don't know. I didn't investigate this. I'm just telling you what Laura Loomer says. But boy, it's awful convenient how this kind of takes place. Mike Davis. Now, Mike Davis, I would believe over anybody, over Tom Cotton, for example. He writes, I work closely with Candace Wong, a former law clerk to Kavanaugh, to get him confirmed. Candace is a conservative Republican. Okay. Now, Dr. Lawrence Sellin, I don't know how many people know him. I've dealt with him in the past, and he's really good at what he does. He wrote on a social media post, high-level infiltration of the Trump administration, the vetting problem of the deputy national security advisor Alex Wong worsens with apparent family links to CCP. And his wife's attorney, Candace, or Wong's wife, U.S. Attorney Candace Chu Wong, was a key Biden regime lawyer involved in prosecuting J6ers. That's according to Lawrence Sellin. He's correct. So one theory is that a careless or bad actor looped Jeffrey Goldberg into the chat. However, there was another story broke today. Again, this is according to Andrea Woodberg, AmericanThinker.com. Maybe this might be it. Now, the predicate to this story is that the Biden regime encouraged everyone in the Trump team to use the Signal app on official White House phones. See, under the Biden administration in 2024, CISA released a mobile communications best practice guidance for highly targeted individuals who are defined as high-ranking government officers or politicians. In other words, this whole thing was set up by the Biden regime. Could it be possible? Sure, it could. Is it possible? I'd kind of say it's very possible. It's pretty interesting. Now, also today, I don't know how many people saw this. I guess I'm kind of a nerd this way. I was watching the subcommittee hearings about NPR, PBS. And so what appeared today's news about Signal itself, to appreciate this news, you need to know that NPR, which used to be just a leftist center, has become insanely leftist over the years. 87 employees, 87 leftists, registered Democrats, but leftists. And the CEO, Catherine Mayer, was just embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed by a brutal takedown. I'm sorry, that was yesterday, not today. Days run together. Steve, that when he comes on. But the takedown, Catherine Mayer was really caught off guard. Brandon Gill, who I'm really beginning to like a lot, read her past tweets to her one by one, and she was just, it was brutal. I mean, she could not crawl under her desk, under the table fast enough. But it turns out that Mayer is the chairman of the board of directors, guess what, for the Signal Foundation. Does this get any more incestuous than that? And that controls the Signal app. Gee, friggin' coincidence. So, remember Joe Pesci? Okay. And what was it, Lethal Weapon? Okay. But here's where it gets good, and then I'm going to bring Steve on because he's getting ready right now. So American Oversight, which is an organization, it's a left-wing lawfare outlet, who will sue President Trump at the drop of a hat or if he looks wrong at somebody. They filed a lawsuit the day before yesterday, in U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. Now, I'm getting to the punchline right now. You see, okay, in D.C., how this works, and you got to really understand how this works, just have a kind of a small comprehension of it. There's 20 judges in the D.C. pool eligible to hear the case. Actually, any case brought before it, but it used to be there was a wheel, okay? Or in some districts, there are ping pong balls, okay? But in this case, I believe it was a wheel. I'm 99% sure in D.C., or maybe still is a wheel, to be assigned to a case. But guess what, okay? So wait a second. The U.S. District Court received a notice of electronic filing by American Oversight versus Pete Hegseth et al. Regarding this Signal brouhaha, right? We're going to spin the wheel now. Eric the Tech, go ahead and spin that wheel. Because we have to assign it to a judge.
And the winner
Where's the land? Huh? Eric the Tech? Yo.
This guy?
Yes! For the boat and the jacuzzi spa. That's right. A gift value at $22,900. Judge Boasberg.
That's a crappy boat.
It's a canoe. Kayak. In your case. Really, the lawsuit is made moot by the Atlantic publication of the chat, but Boasberg is going to find a way to affirm the lawsuit and assign an attorney attorney fee damages to the lawfare plaintiff. I can guarantee you that. Absolutely. But how in the hell? See, he's 1 out of 20. The wheel was spun, I think, 4-5 times prior to this, every friggin' time. Where's it land? Boasberg. You think the statistics, what do you think about the statistics on that? You think somebody ought to do an audit of that? And the conservatives in Congress sit on their friggin' hands and do friggin' nothing. It's about time. Congress has the power to abolish the court, the circuit courts. Friggin' abolish this court. Do it now. Shut the F up. Pam Bondi, we don't need to see you on Fox News anymore. Get to work. Abolish the courts and be done with it. And send this guy to Gitmo. Now, mind you, I don't have really heavy thoughts on it. All right.
When do I get
that guy? That guy. Should I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When do I get the boat?
You get the boat after you pay the taxes, the shipping, the handling, and which sometime I think in 2027, late, just in time for ice fishing. All right. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com is ready to rock and roll. Thank you for putting up with me, but I'm telling you what, this is all BS, all right? And it's all BS until we start doing something. And if they don't start doing something, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to start doing stuff. And when we start doing stuff, it ain't going to be pretty. I don't know if Steve's got any thoughts on this, but stevequayle.com, that's the website to go. It's going to be linked in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. If you had gone to hagmanpi.com yesterday, you would have seen a notice saying, hey, we... By necessity, by traveling, we have investigation calls. We're on the road. Okay, so we were off last night. But what a way to come back. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Thanks, Steve, for joining me. How are you?
Well, thank you, Doug. And tonight's going to be a little interesting to open the show because I want to share an event that absolutely blew me away. And it takes a lot to blow me away. I'd gotten to sleep around midnight, okay? I'm on Mountain Standard Time. And I was in deep sleep because I so seldom get it. And at about, I went to sleep at noon. I have a digital clock right off the bed. And those are wonderful, especially when you wake up and you go, it's only that hour? I was hoping I'd get more. But what caused me to wake up, like, and I woke up and I sat up in bed, was I heard, and I was dreaming, okay? I heard the loudest roar that I've ever heard in my life. There's no way to explain it. There's nothing on earth to explain it. And then these are the words I heard in my spirit. And I'm going to make sure I read it right. It's on my notes. Doug, I don't take copious notes. I just take the bottom line notes. The roar of war is coming to your shore. And the roar, and it's an interesting statement because I have never used those terms ever in my life. I believe, brother, we're out of time. I don't know how long we have, but the events we're going to talk about tonight, especially, I heard your introduction. I couldn't agree with you more. The spineless, gutless rhinos, Republican in name only, and I call them the zombie cons. They could have put an end to this, and the vice president could put an end to this. And there's a lot of things the Supreme Court couldn't do. And, you know, I'm hearing rumors that couple of justices were on Epstein Island. Well, if that's true, it's rumor, ladies and gentlemen. It's not proven. But if it's true, I'm saying if, rumor, and a lot of rumors fly because people that are putting that information out there don't want their identity made known. And they're not putting it on Signal, okay? So you've got to understand that there is such a cover-up, cover-over, and a total given-over of this country to such incredible forces of evil. Now, I want to talk about the roar of war coming to your shore. And for so long, when America walked in the ways of the living God, look, I don't care what the atheists say. I don't care what the agnostics say. And I sure don't care what the, what do we call them, zombie cons say or the demon rats say. It's amazing to me that people can't put two and two together. Well, that's because they've been under the control and brainwashing of the National Education Association. And look, we can't put up with it much longer. But I want to share what happened. I went on the concordance, and I looked up how many times roar was used. And, you know, that tells me a lot because there's a lot of scripture, and we're not going to go through all of them. But, Eric, I'd like you to put that one up, if you would, and then I'm going to take off on it. And I've got to be able to blow it up, okay? This is out of Job chapter 37. But for the record, people may not know this. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. He is given incredible insight, and he was also given religious reasons by all those around him why God was punishing him, so much so that when God lifted the punishment, and by the way, it was a deal that the devil was trying to destroy Job's testimony before God, and God said, do what you're going to do, but you can't kill him. So I want to read this, and thank you so much, Eric, for making this available. Indeed, at his thundering, my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Listen carefully to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out of his mouth. He lets it loose under the whole heaven and is lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his majesty, and he does not restrain his lightning against his adversaries when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. So what was fascinating, Doug, is that I've never heard a sound like this. There's no way, even with the best hearing aids in the world, not true, but it was in my spirit, and it was so unnerving because normally you can compare something like something. We can compare, well, that was like this in history. That was like that in history. We're following this parallel. We're in uncharted waters now, and ladies and gentlemen, people can argue about the end of the age. Age is the annihilation, genocide, and extinction of the human race. But I want everyone to recognize something. And this is what I feel was tonight's topic, Doug, the topic of the night. We are now in the throes of a con- total revealing and uncovering of the lawlessness, especially in the courts, especially in the highest courts. Remember, the Supreme Court could have put an end to all this nonsense of trying Trump in the courts. They could have stepped in and said, this is unconstitutional, but they were silent. I would recommend that everybody ponder the question, think out of the box. Now, why would they be charged with a constitutional interpretation and not do anything about it? Well, how about compromise? I can't tell you who. I can only tell you this, that the Supreme Court has given over into the hand of evil this land. And so when I read this in Job, it spoke to me, because in the book of Revelation, the apostle John on the island of Patmos, and by the way, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to his servant John. And what was astonishing to me is the fact that everything you read in the Word of God talks about the judgment of God on nations that refuse to acknowledge him. And I want to say to everything, every agnostic, every atheist person out there, every unbeliever, you can't tell me where we're at today is better than where it was, let's say, 20 years ago, even 30 years ago. And if you're a kid of the 50s, I am, then you look back and you reflect and you go, how did we get here? It's simple. The Christians chickened out. Well, not all of them chickened out. That's true. But the majority did. And when the silent majority shut up, evil flourished. And so what we're seeing now in Washington, D.C. is a direct fulfillment of the Word of God. Look, you can challenge it all you want, but Doug, how many years have I been saying, before God allows Russia to destroy the United States, he's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people and the people's sins before a holy God.
Ever since I've known you.
Yeah. So the thing is that we're now watching revelation after revelation after revelation. And ladies and gentlemen, anybody that, is thinking that $37 trillion we have in debt is a national debt couldn't be further from the truth. Because one of the things that Elon Musk and his Doge team, Department of Government Efficiency, have uncovered is 14 money-making machines that are, there's no accountability with them, and that have turned out trillions of dollars. And all they have to do is basically tap in, and they have access to it, to any bank account, any place in the world, and put X number of dollars in it. You can go to the bank, and if you have an electronic deposit, you can take the money out. So we have right now before us, Doug, in my opinion, and I think it's a well-researched opinion, it's a declared opinion before it's ever happened, that we're going now to see the things that people will basically take their breath away. If I told you, ladies and gentlemen, that a quadrillion, is and just one quadrillion is 1,000 trillion, that most people can't even imagine that amount of money, let alone $1 trillion. You can go on any of your favorite search engines and see how much money a trillion is. You can see semi trucks. You can see stacks of $100 bills going to the moon and back. And you can see all sorts of virtual representations of a trillion. But nobody has done a quadrillion. It's important that people understand this, that the rest of the world, with that revelation, will begin to bail out of the dollar. They will not invest in the United States, because what will they get? More Federal Reserve or a central bank digital currency? And I know what's being asked and being told us from people who live in the world of megabucks in different parts of the world in the banking scene, usually through a single mouthpiece, because they don't dare. And at my request, I don't want them to email me, because my email mines will be the New York crappy times, okay? Or it should be New York really bad times. We've watched the press over and over and over absolutely take on all virtue, mock all Christianity, take on everything that's good, promote the most hideous, historic, perspective you can get on just the, I would call this Caligula II, you know, or Diocletian II. These are Roman emperors that were known for just their wickedness. But move over, guys. This is going to get worse than that. So what is interesting to me, even tonight, is when I started looking at the scriptures, Doug, on roaring, and it says, can a lion roar and not be heard? And we can't go through all the scriptures. But I want everyone to understand this, that years ago, I think we're going on 2 years now, on Doug Hagman's report, I talked about Operation Sandman. And it got its name because of the Middle East, and there's a lot of money in the Middle East, and they have actual trillionaires there. The Sandman referred to that part of the world that would be turning in their dollars as secretly as possible. And now you have the whole run from the whole world trying to bail out of U.S. long bonds, 30 years, which was a foundation of almost every investment firm. And ladies and gentlemen, some of these firms have, I think, $8-9 trillion, not billion, $8-9 trillion under their control. And to find out now with what the Musk team is finding out, look, these are computer guys. And when most people weren't computer literate, most of the most evil villains in history were basically using them to line their pockets. And you can't tell me that, you know, some politician like what, Stacey Abrams got $2 billion? And how does AOC get $30 million? And all these people get payola. And one of the things that Maxine Waters was worried about, and she's on record as saying this, that she was worried that Doge would uncover, and she made the statement that she was worried that they would come to the conclusion of basically, we'd be exposed. Those are my words. But she was worried what they would find in the financial realm. So the joke has always been, America has the best government money can buy. Well, the rest of the world under Operation Sandman is absolutely getting ready to repudiate the U.S. dollar. And I want everybody to think about this when they say, oh, central bank digital currency. Who's going to take U.S. central bank digital currency when it's no better than all the Federal Reserve notes they're holding? And the day of reckoning is coming to the United States. And I would even put it this way, the day of financial wrecking, not reckoning, wrecking, W-R-E-C-K-I-N-G, is now upon us. And with revelation comes an anger that is building the American people. One of the things that's really critical, and again, from the beginning of my conversations and talking about AI, I said AI is the extinction of mankind. I did. And, you know, I'm pretty versed in some of the most famous treatises, for instance, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us Anymore. And that was written by the innovator of Sun Microsystems, Bill Joy, J-O-Y. And I would encourage every one of Hagman's listeners tonight, and I'd say the Hagman Report listeners, to go and look that up, because it's old, but we're at that point. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the revelations that are coming are going to be devastating. I saw Bill Gates of Hell, in my opinion, talking about in 10 years, humans won't be needed for anything. That's spoken from the world's largest, most outspoken, and richest eugenicists, at least in the open. It's the same guy that wants to block the sun to kill photosynthesis, same guy that wants to cut down 2 billion trees to, you know, to lessen the carbon footprint. But from the beginning, Doug, I was warning everybody. It's almost like Soylent Green, the movie with Charlton Heston, when he finally figures out Soylent Green is people. That's a classic line out of that movie. And it's important now that people begin to understand that the United States is being separated from the world for judgment. And look, I know this isn't the word people want to hear. For now, 35 years on talk radio, I've been telling people these days are coming. And it's time, and I heard those words clear in my spirit, that it's time for the events that that not only me, but a lot of people have been warning about. Boy, Tom Horn, Chuck Missler, we're watching, and those are just Russ Dizdar. We're watching, in my opinion, some of the most amazing men of God and women being taken off the earth to spare them from the evil that is to come. So why?
Well, where's that leave you and I, Steve?
Well, here's the deal. We're still here, and we still got a job to do. Or, brother, you and I would be with our friends in heaven. And, you know, where there's no more crying, no more tears, and we don't have to worry about, guess what, funding Big Mac meals on using DoorDash's new plan, which is to basically finance single meals. They have to hit a $20, I think, threshold, or multiple meals. They're going to fund it. They're going to finance it. I would gladly pay you on Friday for a hamburger today. One of the classic lines of Popeye, you know, I think, yeah, Wimpy. And so what is provocative, and I want Eric to put this up because I think people need to see, this isn't me making it up. So in essence, when we pray in the name of Jesus and we thank God for giving us our daily bread, someone says, you know, I got a deal for you. I'm going to let you eat your daily bread, and I'm going to let you pay for it next week, but it's going to cost you 25%. I'm telling you, the day that America has to buy food on credit is the end of what we've known, in my opinion, as the blessings of God. There's no political solution to a spiritual problem. And at the end of it all, no matter all of the swill, all of the Democratic general principles of operation, and then obviously the Republican cohorts, everybody, money, money, money. You know, money can't buy you love, but it sure buys you influence, and it sure buys you, you know, one of your yachts that you're sailing out of America because you know it's going to be toast. And everybody should understand something. A lot of the mega yachters, they're not mooring their yachts in any place within the continental United States, and the smartest ones are headed into the southern hemisphere, whether it's New Zealand, whether it's Australia, whether it's down in the tips of South America. What we're watching in real time, ladies and gentlemen, is, and I'm going to, is separation unto destruction. It's just like when you have a disease. You have to isolate the disease, identify the disease, and then you have to have the scientists basically go to work on trying to figure out how to deal with the disease. Spanish flu, 1918, good example. And now we're watching the instant replay of the death of a nation. You know, I was a film major, graduated 2 degrees, Montana State University, and that's not like Harvard, but it was one of the finest film schools when I went there, and next to USC, and I think Brookings was another one. And it was interesting because even the American Film Institute, AFI, a couple of those guys sent their children, they were obviously young adults, to Montana State University. So what we had to do in the motion picture history was to see the evolution of the themes of cinema. And you might be surprised to know one of the very first robots with you know, female features standing under a pentagram was Fritz Lang, Metropolis. And I would encourage everybody to see that. You had to see Birth of a Nation because it was a consolidated and condensed version of the whole history of our country. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Savage, God bless him, said borders, language, culture. He also said liberalism is a mental disease, a mental disorder. What you're watching is the fabric of crookery, not cookery, although they do cook the books. The crookery is being presented to the American people. Go back to what I said so many years ago. Before God allows Russia to destroy the United States, He's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people. That's what we're seeing right now, Doug. I don't think anybody can challenge that. Well, people that don't believe in sin, maybe they'll challenge it, but they're going to eat the fruit of bitterness when they find out that that taste in your mouth is the gnawing away of your tongue. Look, I'm not pulling any more punches because we're at such a inflection point that the events that are coming upon us now are incredible. And not only will God reveal the sins of the leaders, but he will reveal the sins of the people. And the people, God doesn't just go, well, you know, adultery's fine, murder's fine, your body, your right. God does not endorse women's rights. But yet, when you don't have God, who are you to judge me? I'm saying, I'm not. I won't judge you. But the word of God will judge you. And the word of God, you're either in or out of the kingdom. And so people are fooling around with eternity. And the last name that most people want to hear, and I'm talking about the majority of even claimants to Christianity, is they don't want to hear about sin. They don't want you even reading the words of the Bible. And it will be illegal. Brothers and sisters, take this to the bank. That if you own a Bible, you'll be a felon. And there'd come a time in this country where the possession of a Bible will be a capital offense. We're not there yet, but everyone can talk about God except those who, know him personally. They will talk about Jesus. There's no name amongst men higher than the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you get rid of Jesus out of the churchian pulpits. I call them puke pits. They never want to bring up the name of Jesus because it convicts them of their sin. If I weren't convicted of my sin and having called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ 53 years ago, well, number one, I wouldn't be here at all because I'm living like, and I had just told a brother in North Carolina, I said, I would be living like hell. I just talked to David Langford, and I said, you know what? When you guys use your Southern expression, hail, it gets more attention than just saying hell, you know? So not for the hell of it, but for the hail of it. And if you look up the word hail in a concordance in Hebrew, this is judgment. So what's interesting to me, going back to that which woke me out of I was out, man. I was tired. And I wake up. And the roar of war is coming to your shore. And I've even said in the past, you know, it's coming to our doors. Because in the time that Greg Evenson was alive, and I know, Doug, you miss him. I miss him so much. But I know he's with the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. I know he's with the Lord. And he wasn't a, what would I call it? A meow man. There you go. That's the nicest way to say what most people don't want to say. And people are so offended over words, and yet they'll quote to me, a good man out of the good treasurer's heart brings forth good fruit. And I say to some of those people, then why are you shacking up? Or why are you living like hail and claiming that, you know, you're a follower of Jesus? And I love the way, and I'm saying this in reference to this, I love the way that there is no fear of God in the land. And the Bible's very clear that says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And when God's judgments are on the land, that's when men really see that God's serious. So the roar of war is coming to our shores, but he said, your shores. And I said, Lord, what will it take? And here's what he said. I wrote this down. The word should be overtake, because only until your nation is overtaken will it understand what it meant to have walked in my ways and to fled from my ways. And one of the things I want to get across to everyone, I've said this from the time I first got a microphone, be under my breath, I guess, is that God is going to reveal not only the sins of the leaders to the people, and the people's sins before a holy God. What can't you do? Look at everybody at NPR. Look at everybody in USAID. Now, there might be some good people, but the majority aren't. They've been writing free tickets, and they've been writing tickets not just in the millions, but in the billions. In essence, they've robbed, pillaged, and plundered the United States, so now it's going under. And obviously, people don't like Elon Musk, and they don't like the ability that he's turning up all the dirt on him. But you know what he's turning up on? A nation that's going to be, and this is my opinion, he would not agree with this, I don't think, but he's turning up the dirt on the graves that are currently empty that will soon be filled with the carcasses of the people that you were kind of talking about, Doug. I got in probably the last 2 minutes of your conversation, but the judges, they're taking judicial powers that aren't allotted to them. And I tell you this, the bald-headed guy you were talking about, you know, I mean, the guy should be arrested. And here's the problem. Some of these people are such incredible thieves. Now they've got the evidence. Now they've got the smoking gun. But you know what? The mainstream sludge press just, you know, shrugs their shoulders. And, you know, they don't care. So, again, it's important, I think, that everybody recognizes this, that it's not going to be what does it take. It will be look what's overtaken our nation. Now, I know you have, obviously, a grandchild. I have three, I think. No, four. You know, sorry, but I sometimes lose count. And I don't want them to go through what they're going to go through. So I know they're going to go through it, and I pray for them. I pray for my children. I pray for the people that have the right heart after God, and you've heard me pray it on your program. I pray it all the time on my program, you know, my Q Files, which is a subscription program, that God will have us at the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time, and he will make us invisible to all evil. Now, look, we're either going to be justified by our faith, and a lot of people are going to die, because when you read the book of Revelation, there's no one who can stand against the beast except Jesus Christ. There's no one that can come up against no longer a mystery Babylon. So when I hear mystery Babylon, by the way, I read that this morning, you know, I call it easy. It's Babylon is fallen is fallen. And I forget the name of the gentleman we had on the show together, moved to Costa Rica. His first name, John Price, I think. And he wrote the book, USA, The Daughter of Babylon. Well, if you know the history of Babylon, obviously Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, but his son, Belshazzar, never did, or maybe Belteshazzar, his son's name. It sounds like Belteshazzar, there you go, Belteshazzar, and he absolutely forgot what happened to his father. And we've absolutely forgotten what has happened to the reason that we exist as a nation, one nation under God, no longer one nation under the British Commonwealth. But wait. President Trump says, well, that sounds pretty good to me. So what was the deal that King Charles made to him? And it was financial, I can guarantee it. I just don't know the number of zeros behind it. Are you saying? I'm saying exactly that. The last thing I want to do is to come under the crown. I'm under one crown. It's on one king's head, and his name is King Jesus. And so what I'm wanting people to understand, that Charles even had the man behind the curtain at one of the sessions he was speaking at a couple of years ago, and it was literally the Antichrist. Now, that's who Charles thought he was, but I want everyone to understand the rumors with validation are that King Charles of Britain has converted to Islam, and he's honoring the Muslim holiday coming up, and he talks about things that are historically inaccurate. And so I'm saying to everyone, and I went on record saying this decades ago, everybody says, well, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire, I said, is unholy for the record. And I don't believe it's the 10 nations that are in Rome and the European Union. I believe it's going to be those nations that are going to rise up in the Middle East, and they're going to control the world. Go ahead, Doug. I'll take a swig of water.
You know, everything you're saying is really interesting, especially in light. I just want to kind of put this out there, because you were talking about the economy and wars, wars coming to your shore. Interestingly, we have seen B-2 Spirit bombers assembling at the remote, very remote island of Diego Garcia. and that portends some sort of U.S. military operation somewhere. I would say somewhere in the Middle East, Middle East, Yemen. I mean, I'm unsure exactly where, but there's a significant buildup right now happening in Diego Garcia. At least five U.S. Air Force B-2 Spirits and seven C-17A Globemaster threes have arrived over the last 3 days at that island. And so things are ramping up there. The White House Deputy Chief of Staff published a video of B-2 bombers landing at Diego Garcia Air Force Base. I didn't want to necessarily go to that right now, but I figured since you were...
Good point to go to right now, okay.
But so there you have it. I mean, something's getting ready to pop. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, it's nine B-2 bombers, and everything you read about the Globemaster, and isn't it interesting, the B-2 Spirit... I don't know. Maybe somebody can say, well, it's the Spirit of America. But everybody must be aware of April 15th, not because it's the most hated day in life when the parasites rule and reign. You know, that's the tax filing period. But what's important is to recognize that they're not doing this. By the way, this amount of bombers has never been assigned to that. It's not just B-2 Spirits, it's B-52s. Now, for a long time, and, you know, people say, I get tired of hearing about Russia. Well, you don't have to get worried about it because you're going to see them, and you're going to see them in action. Here's the thing. On April 15th, Iran and Russia signed a mutual defense pact, and the Duma in Russia has already signed on to it. Iran's a government has already signed on to it, which means an attack on Iran is an attack on Russia. Iran, again, I want to remind everybody of this. The principality, the evil entities, and they're not demons, they're fallen angels, because it took God's holy angels to fight against the most powerful angel that's ever been defined in the word of God to fight with them for 21 days. I thought, well, Lord, why don't you say the word and get rid of that guy at the beginning? But the point is this, that we are now watching, I believe, Doug, the whole world turning on the United States. I'm on record, and I interviewed Richard Coombes, C-O-O-M-B-E-S, and you can read his book free online, America the Babylon, and he gives you 200 reasons. Nobody in the world fits the definition of Mystery Babylon. So we have, interesting enough, in history, who destroyed Babylon? Well, it's easy. The Medo-Persian Empire. And now we're returning to the old gods, which are fallen angels, which ruled the earth even before the creation of Adam and Eve, and basically built the legendary and mythological cities and systems that we're now reading about when you read about Google's Willow chip, literally trying to find parallel universes. And when they found it, they couldn't even say the G word. And I'm talking about the living God, because what was being seen, everyone, were ancient glyphs. A glyph is a signal. It is a sign. We have a modern day, you know, any type of trademark, that's a glyph. You look at a Google glyph, you look at any glyph, the things that people use, trademarks, and it's interesting because they all convey a thought in a single symbol. So what we're seeing is now Google and their Willow chip, they ran into alien, and I don't mean UFO, I'm not talking about that kind of alien. They came into contact with multiple dimensional personalities. I want everybody to understand that. The findings so shook them up that they shut down the experiment and they locked up the true nature of what they found. Well, it just so happens that I know somebody who talked to one of the engineers at Google who fled. He picked up his stuff in his office, went to his apartment, and took his stuff, and he disappeared out of the country. Now, this isn't for political intrigue, but what's interesting is that, and I want everybody to understand this, that when Genesis 6, obviously my film company, started to embark on the basic premise that all of the symbols, even before Adam, those are called pre-Adamic symbols, carry not just a single A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about complete sentences or complete thoughts in a single symbol. For instance, the most obvious one is a spiral, and that's over all over the world, that's a type of a Stargate. By the way, Stargate, angel gate, by the way, in the Bible, Jacob's ladder, by the way, we see things happening in the heavens now that we've never seen before. And I'm sorry to use this kind of language, by the way, it's going to be bad English, not as in swearing, but we ain't seen nothing yet. And the interesting thing is that I see, Doug, right now that World War III isn't de-escalating. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's a known fact that the United States, under Victoria Nuland and her British counterpart, blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. They tried to give all kinds of horse feather excuses, but that in itself was an act of war. And we in the West have been allowing, you know, the sophistication of the West's weapons against literally Russia. And I want people to understand something. I heard a powerful statement the other day, and it took my breath away. When Vladimir Putin said, I prayed, not like pray on, P-R-E-Y, but P-R-A-Y-E-D, for President Trump when he was shot. Because in essence, Biden, and I'm going to say this, Biden and the crime cartel, and if you knew how deep that cartel went, it would take, Doug, you and 1,000 investigators to track down everything. So Elon Musk is doing it easily. And when you really understand, ladies and gentlemen, that these trolls, these evil entities, I believe they're orchestrated by fallen angels, and I can't say that some of these judges aren't basically fallen angels in earth drag, okay? And it's that evil. See, people don't understand there's a difference between the root of evil and the fruit of evil. And to get to understanding the fruit of evil, you've got to identify the root of evil. So what we're seeing now, and I believe it, you know, you don't have to believe me, but I believe it. I believe the word of the Lord. And you cannot explain away how now, under President Trump's second term, that all of the effects of investigative forensics financially, and by the way, the man that killed Ashley Babbitt, I don't remember his name now, but he was promoted, and oh, by the way, a financial forensic analysis of all of the laundered money, you know, I'm saying this, there are, and I'll use the word rumors, there are rumors of how much money he was paid. There was also a lot of background noise of who ordered him to kill her, okay? They're finding this stuff out. And by the way, I'm not telling you something that is hidden from the public. It's already made known. And again, President Trump is going to get to the bottom of it. Now, let me go back to what's happening with promises made, promises kept. Well, how about Fort Knox? And I've been in the gold business for 40 years. And some days, Doug, I look in the mirror and I go, where have the 40 years gone? But when I look back on how long I've been talking, I've been speaking, I've been exhorting, I've come to this conclusion that we're at the point, this is it, this is it. All the warnings, all the prep, I guess you would say, trying to get people, pressing them to recognize the day is coming when there'll be no food, there'll be no fresh water, and the two most precious commodities on earth will be drinkable water and edible food. When you hear what these monsters are doing, and I call them monsters, and I'm not talking about the monster mash being a graveyard smash, I'm talking about absolute, some of the most evil I would call them combo entities in the world. Those are evil men yielding unto the promise of Lucifer, or evil women, and they're willing to basically not only sell their souls to the devil, but they're willing to sell us all out to the devil. So I believe that the United States is being isolated unto destruction. Every day, more nations behind the scenes, and I happen to know this stuff because I know what's going on behind the scenes, and I couldn't have known unless someone prepped me for it. But what has happened is the shamification. Now, that's a new word for the Hagman listeners tonight. Shamification. That is the belief that somehow the American people are so gullible that they'll believe any sham, any scam, any lie, any coordinated lie. And I remember saying this, Doug, decades ago. By the way, I started to figure out I've been on doing warning because before I was a talk show host, I was publishing newsletters, and then you and I did that after 9/11. But I've been doing that for, half a century, you know? So you what go. Does that make, a half a centurion? You know, the point being is that you have done, and this is, you're my friend, but you're also a skilled investigator. You've done investigations. You follow up. You follow through. And what's important for people to understand, if you come to the logical conclusion, if you come to the evidentiary conclusion, you're going to see events taking place that you only poo-pooed maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. But every one of us has a choice. Anybody who's on this side of eternity, in other words, in an upright position, still living, although the walking dead seem to be overtaking the living, we're watching now the literal fulfillment of the end of the age. The end of the age is not the end of the world. But you hear more about words like rapture than you do resurrection. You hear more about rapture than you do repentance. Oh, and why is it that some of the, I won't name names, but why is it some of the most prominent televangelists are always getting tagged with their pants down, okay? Well, that's not a nice thing to say. Well, they should have kept their pants on. They should have stayed in the enjoying the wife of their youth, not the wife or the youthful wives of everybody else. Again, I listened to a tape of a man who was called on the carpet, nationally known evangelist, nationally recognized, and he basically, one of his elders went to him and confronted him with the letters of 12 different women. I guess he locked in on 12, but it wasn't disciples, it was ladies. And so he only stayed out of the ministry, I think, maybe 2 months, and he's back at it again. But not only did the man record him, and he didn't have, obviously, the target's permission, but the targeted evangelist who's on television making all sorts of outlandish claims said, and these are in his own words, and, you know, I have no joy, and that's why I won't call his name out. But he's on record as saying, you can't do this. If my congregation finds out, I'll have to go up the hill and kill myself. Sounds like Judas Iscariot to me. And it's not just him. Men who claim to be representatives of God, whether it's Hillsong. I remember first time they said Hillsong will turn into Hillsong. And guess what? From the head who started it, I'm not going to name names, his three most prominent pastors, they all got caught with, I would say, the invisible pants that weren't there, and they were all committing adultery. And I think all three of them were married. And so it's interesting that the power that comes in the preaching, that people don't know the Word of God. That's what Pastor Langford's been saying. They don't know basic doctrine. How about this? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Well, there's no such thing as sin. You Christians, you don't get it. We get to eat, drink, and be merry and have all kinds of fun. Well, you guys go around warning everybody they're going to hell. Tell them to have fun. That's what life's all about. That's the biggest lie that was ever, ever given. And now we're hearing with the AI people and the what I call alien infected and infested, quantum computing realm that is basically coming up. How is it that they're coming up with ancient symbols, with ancient legends, with ancient myths and ancient entities? Well, ladies and gentlemen, when a demon-possessed entity, let's just take, for instance, the evil spirits that inhabited Nero and Caligula and Diocletian, three of the most profane Roman emperors, and what they did to human beings is beyond, I won't even talk about it. But the point is that we're watching the return to the days of the fall of the Roman Empire. And most people used to at least get touched on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire when they were taking history classes. But even in high school, and if anybody goes back the turn of the century, man, you want to see some smart people, go back and see what they were taught. I mean, we don't even have, what is it, Doug? We have 30% or 40% of kids that can't even read.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. We're on the bottom of the educational, what would you call it? The educational scale, which is why the Department of Education, they don't educate. They it's not their job to educate. They coordinate and work with the teachers' unions, and they're more or less a funding funnel to the teachers' unions. But yeah, the people who or the number of children who have graduated that lack proficiency in both reading and writing, I think has exceeded 30%. Now, I'm not sure if that's just the public school system or all students, but it's just an incredible number regardless.
And ladies and gentlemen, one of the planned byproducts of the entire COVID lockdown, which was the greatest crime ever executed against the American people, from the beginning, Doug, it was on your show, saying, it's a bioweapon, it's a bioweapon, it's a bioweapon. And, I've written books 20 years ago about it. I've warned 20 years ago about it. And boy, did I get in a lot of trouble with certain agencies by saying, listen, this scientist, go look up Project COAST, everyone, if you challenge my word, COAST, South Africa. They were developing race-specific bioweapons, and then they went to genotype-specific bioweapons, and now they've got it down to individual bioweapons. And, oh, by the way, 23andMe, they'll say, they were breached. I can tell you this, there's not a genetic database in the world that the Chinese don't own now. They don't. If they couldn't buy it, they stole it. And they were able to sucker the world in, and they planned for the Olympics to be in Beijing, and every athlete was basically had multiple swabs daily prior to the event and after the event, and the ones that excelled, those were set aside. So if you were going to make your super race, if you were going to make your the ultimate warrior, you'd want to have the genes that determine, what made that swimmer the best, what made that high jumper the best, what made the fastest man or woman the best. And they have that genetic library. I believe that they have, 2 billion, individuals' genetics. 2 billion. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, they're the original xenophobes. Now, I think China, and I've gone on great, great detail. Those of you who've been with me for 35 years, remember I used to talk about China would be the up-and-coming thing, and my former partner who passed away, Larry Berg, was talking about all it takes is one more egg and one more chicken in the diet of the Chinese, and they will excel. Because we can't, if you take some of the Chinese scientists, every time we announce we're going to be the capital of the AI world, wrong. We're not. We're not. Anything we've done, they're going ahead. Now, look, I am not pro anything except pro Jesus. I am pro God. I am called. This is my calling. And I challenge anybody to have said what they've said, done what they've done. And if it weren't for the intercessors, I would have been done. And so I want to thank everybody that's ever prayed for Doug Hagmann, ever prayed for me. And a lot of the people that used to pray for me daily have gone to be with Jesus. And two of the women, Mary Juarez, a Mexican powerhouse, I watched her walk into a church service. And the power of God was on her that the demons started screaming out, just like the Gadarene demoniac. And so now what we're finding, Doug, is we're finding the fallen angels that identify and are identified, even in Ephesians 6, not by name, but principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That means authorities with power, and they're identifying themselves. That's why in the Glyph Project that I've been working on for 3 years. So I want everybody to understand this. This is my famous glass of water illustration and my sunglass case, okay? I'm making my case. The bottom line is that they, meaning Google, have come to this arrival point, the destination where they now are terrified of the results. They contacted the spirit world, parallel universe, and they contacted entities. We started out with the Glyph Project 3 years ago, and in essence, we started out with the three things that I believe the Lord God of heaven gave us to see, that there's a universal language of fallen angels, and they don't speak Spanish, they don't speak English, but through signs and symbols, they are known and they can read the glyphs. So when you have something that's pre-Adamic, oh, I don't believe in that gap theory. Well, you're just telling me that you got a gap between your brain. And look, this isn't nice. I'm tired of being nice. And look, it's not being right. It's being redemptive. We have got to fight for those who will listen. They'll hate the truth at first. Then they'll embrace the truth. Then God in his mercy will show them the truth. And then the final thing they'll do is, well, they knew it all along. I mean, I've watched it 100 times. No, not 100 times, 1,000 times. So, you know, we're at this point where the roar of war is coming to our shore. And you know, we can always and have been successful when we walked in the ways of the living God, giving him praise. And it went downhill when the entity known as the Abomination of Desolation, now I call him the Abomination of Damnation, introduced foreign gods and foreign thoughts and wouldn't even acknowledge. Remember when they were standing the Pledge of Allegiance and he wasn't pledging his allegiance? And all that we're seeing is America was Soros-sided, and I could stand corrected, Doug, because I couldn't see why no one would ever bring up his name when all roads and even these judgeships, especially the judges, were funded and financed by him, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And great, he's spending billions. So I'll let you talk. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so dominating of the conversation, but by your graciousness, you've let me come on. And I think it's critical. By the way, I don't get a word. I'm not a prophet. I'm a watchman. I basically have never claimed to be a prophet. All I know is that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, because Jesus is the ultimate prophet. What do you think Jesus is doing in Matthew 24, Matthew 11? I'm sorry, Luke 11, and also the book of Revelation. He's telling you the things that are, the things that will be, and the things that will be at the end. He's the only one that ever told everybody on earth what the end of the matter is at the beginning of a matter. Behold, I am the Lord God. God the Father is saying that he alone determines the end of the age, not the end of the world. And Jesus is coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You can read that in Revelation. And it talks about when the 1,000 years are up, the millennial reign of Christ, that God is busy recreating a new heaven, a new earth, that wherein dwelleth righteousness. But Jesus will rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. I hear preachers that should know better saying, oh, that's an allegory. No, it's not. It's a real story of the redemption of mankind. You know, and when Jesus is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's not just a cliche. That is not just, well, you know, that's a metaphor. No, it's not. It is the declaration of the living God to his creation, what he set as a boundaries and set. Oh, by the way, the promise of AI, ye shall be as God, knowing all things. And good and evil? Yeah. And not only good and evil, but you're not going to die, Doug. You and I, you know, we get to download our brain into a singular mechanical human frame, and we just live on. And the billionaires love that. Because
Isn't this okay? So a couple of things about this in particular. I've always contended, based on my research, and look, I don't know if I'm correct. I could be totally wrong, but I just feel this has something to do with this conversation, that our consciousness, based on, in particular, based on people who have. Who have been clinically dead. I can talk, and have lived to tell about it. Consciousness resides outside of the body. That's kind of my or there is a heavenly consciousness. I guess is a better way of saying that. And we are what we are living in today is more of a hologram than heaven. Heaven is real. This is more of a, I mean, it's real, but it's not as real as heaven would be. Okay. Forgive my blundering here.
You're doing a good job. Okay. Quoting Colossians 1:16-17, that if you don't know that, you are.
And I didn't know that.
That is the collection of the biblical presence, because look, consciousness does exist. And I would say this, there are some flakes about talking about when they die and they go to heaven. There's some real ones. And then the ones that are absolutely staggering are the ones that God lets come back from the dead, and they tell of the horrors of hell. That they're not talking about the hellish horrors that are, you know, in D.C. or the houses of ill repute. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Congress. No, it's not. You know, the point is those out-of-body experiences are sending messages. And the discernment that God promises to give us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling everybody that the most important one at this time is to be praying for discernment. Have you ever had people that you trusted, Doug, that have backstabbed you? Yeah. You know, that's like asking, have you ever been in a rainstorm? You know, and you go, yeah, but it felt like every single drop of water was hitting me. The betrayal that is going to come against the followers of Jesus Christ, there's nowhere in my vocabulary, even made up words, that can define the level of that. And, you know, we're watching. The enemy of a man's life will be the enemy of his own household. And that applies to the household of faith and also the human households. I mean, look at how many people are openly fighting. You've got a pro-Trump husband and you got a pro-Biden wife, and they're splitting up. They're splitting up. But that's biblical, everyone, because Jesus said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm not saying divorce is biblical. I'm saying the injunction against divorce is absolutely defined. Now, I know there are situations. First of all, no woman should have to live in a situation where she's battered. But you know, Doug, over the years, I never realized how many men live in a situation where their wives batter them. And it's going to be a question of life and death in the days ahead, because people will be paid in food credits for the more people they turn on. And when I say turn on, that they turn the authorities onto that person, and that we're going to be the nation, that whatever's left, of finkdom. And I said, the nation of finks sinks. A good example of that was East Germany under the control of Marcus Wolf and the Stasi, these German secret police. And it's problematic that now we're watching the electronic surveillance of everyone in the United States. And I'm on record, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Holdings wrote a book called Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. And for the record, he and I just filmed 12 45-minute revelations of what I was told. He wrote the book about it and what's coming to pass, even to the point of the city under the Egyptian plateau. You know, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I've been at that for, yeah, really realistically 30 years in defined research. People who I know have been there, some of them even wired the communications, but it's not just a small city. You know, it's like a borough. The place, and nobody has said this because they don't know that it is 100 square miles. Do you know how big that is? And this is what's interesting. It has 33 levels. And I literally was briefed, this is in 2005, about the giant sarcophaguses, similar to Gilgamesh's tomb, that floated out because there's rivers of water. You think, well, that's all desert. That's only what you see on the surface. And my basic statement to everybody, I was going to say statement, my statement is it's not what's on the surface of the earth, because over the millennia and over the world of pre-Adamic cities, they weren't of human beings, they were of fallen angels. And they built cities, they built the edifices, they built the megalithic structures. They're not built, and by the way, even the Pyramid of Giza was not built by Hebrew slaves, neither was the Pyramid of Khafre or Khufu. And all of those pyramids are interesting because they're literally at the center of the earth. And David Flynn, God bless him, he went to be with the Lord. That was one of the smartest men. Tom Horn said this too when he was alive, that either Tom or I had ever met in our life, and he had the most amazing brain. I know his brother, he had a twin, Mark, and Mark is like, you know, these guys are gifted with an intelligence that it was always interesting to me to see the naysayers come out, and they would be called quasi-intellectuals, and they always wanted to prove David Flynn wrong. And it's interesting. They can't do it, but they say they can do it. And they have no respect for people who really have done it. I've seen the same thing happen about Tom Horn. I've seen the same thing happen about Chuck Missler. Chuck Missler was a genius, a real genius. Tom Horn was one of the finest speakers. He had total recall. And you know what's interesting, Doug? I didn't know this until, I'll share this with everybody. Some of you hosted some of our early radio programs before podcasts, and some of some of those radio programs that are recorded prior to the podcast have gone around the world, and they have tens of millions of views. Tens of millions of views. And so what's amazing is one of the things that Tom Horn, I never knew this. I lived in their home for weeks at a time at their invitation. I think those were the highlights of my radio life, and then went into podcasts, the times we did a couple conferences together. But he said this, when he died for 8 minutes, God gave him a vision of the future. And I never knew this before. And he said, but the Lord Jesus Christ told him, I will only allow you to release certain information as it's shortly to come to pass. He said the same words that I said that, forgive me, that I've shared my testimony when Jesus gave me a panorama of history. And I'm not apologizing for that. I said, thank God. I couldn't do what I've done if I didn't have a foundation of that. And the Lord said to me, face to face, I'm talking Jesus. One of my critics said, well, no man has seen God and lived. Nope, I saw Jesus. I did not see God the Father. And he said to me, after showing me the panorama of the future, and this is like 53 years ago, everyone, so that's about half a century. And so the point is that he said the exact words that Tom was told. God said, I'm only going to release them as they're shortly to come to pass. I never knew that. He never told me that, but I saw a video and my mouth dropped open. I said, man, Lord, I wish you would have said that to me. We could have compared notes. Well, maybe that's why he didn't share it with me. But by the grace of God, the events that are now transpiring, Doug, are beyond anything that anyone can put into words. The heart of man cannot understand. So when I shared the passage in Job that Eric put up at the beginning of the show, that's a fascinating thing because it puts the roar of the Lord, literally, into the thunders and lightnings. The one thing that John, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation by the commandment of God the Father, he was told what the seven thunders were, and people have tried to guess them. But it's interesting, as I was going through the word roar, it was always in the presence of God, and it was always in the mention of the power he has over all aspects of nature. For instance, around the throne of God, there's lightning. I mean, there's thundering. So when God was literally under Moses' leadership, when God said to Moses, bring the people to the mountain and I will speak with them. And the mountain was on fire and the people could not stand to hear the word of God. They couldn't stand. They wanted to. They wouldn't let up until they heard for themselves that God spoke. And one of the saddest points in history, I used to preach or teach on this, the saddest point in history, in my opinion, prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, that's a victory statement, but was when that God brought the children of Israel to the very base of a mountain, the mountain of the presence of God, and they heard his voice thunder. They saw the lightning. They saw, as it were, the manifesting fire, similar to what Moses saw. Moses never saw the face of God, but God hid him behind a rock and caused God allowed Moses to see his form and his shape, but not his face and not his glory. So that the tragedy of that is, I believe that was the origin of preaching, because people want someone else to tell them or to show them the way, sheep without shepherds, and they don't want to go to the, now not everyone, but most claimants to Christianity do not want to have what I would call being brought to the foot of the mountain, and there's another way I say that, a transformational encounter with Jesus Christ, where only he can take us from our sinful nature to a nature that's renewed in him. So why is the saddest point? Real simply, because men had the chance to literally hear the voice of God, to see his thunderings and his roaring and his lightning. And guess what? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know why? Because God's presence was so holy that the unholiness of humans, and look, without Jesus, none of us, we don't have to say, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm on record saying that word does not exist. The rabbis came to Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they wanted to take the eyes off of God the Father to condemn Jesus' son. And when they called him good teacher or good master, he said, why call ye me good, where there's none good save my Father which is in heaven? I tell people, get the redemption part down, because once you do, you can cease from your own labors. I'm going to be good enough for God. You can never be good enough for God, but God made a way through Jesus Christ that you can be good enough. None of us can pay for our sins. Jesus paid for them. And I got news for you. I believe the word of God. When he says, though our sins be as scarlet, he'll make them as white as wool. And that's a pretty neat thing. And he says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I'll hear you. And that's why, in the book I wrote called Jesus, The Premise of Promise, I think we only got a couple 100 copies of it, and you know, had a couple thousand and reprinted once. The thing is that help, his everlasting presence, his everlasting provision, his everlasting protection, his everlasting purity. God's not the God made of wooden statues or monuments made of marble. He's a King of glory. So it's interesting to me that having had the blessing of God on this country, we turned away from it. And I've always said there cannot be restoration of all things without repentance. Repentance says, God, search my heart. And by the way, not of the sins I see, I can confess those, but of any hidden sin. And that's when it gets interesting, because you go, I didn't know I was harboring that in my heart. But God is gracious. He's never once said to me or tried to rub my nose in my sin. That'd be a lot of rubbing. But what's interesting, he the Holy Spirit convicts me if I'm doing something wrong. And usually it's in the form of having a hard time getting over betrayal. But I think in the last month, one of the things that set me free is he said, forgive, forget, and go forward. You know, that was a pretty neat statement. Forgive, forget, and go forward. Now, obviously, the devil says, well, what? You remember what he did to you? Nope, that's in the rearview mirror. And I once took a dustpan, and I think I did it on your show. If I didn't, I think I did. Remind me, because so many shows ago, but I swept up the basically my floor in my office and concrete outside my office door. And he said, Steve, when you shake the dust off of your feet, that means when you've given your heart to Jesus and you're proclaiming the salvation that's in no other name but the name of Jesus, said, don't take what you just swept from your past into the dustpan and dump it on your path ahead. That's exactly a great visual image for me, because I didn't realize it. You try and forget the past, you shake the dust off, and you don't do it to put in a dustpan and then just throw the dust in front of you. So, oh, gee, all that dust. I like the dust so much, I want it back again. Because there's going to be new dust ahead of you. And you're going to have to take the same dustpan, and you're going to have to take the same broom and sweep it and get out of your path. Go ahead, Doug.
Wow. And you know, I'm fairly certain that we talked about this, or I said this before, but with what you're talking about, you know, that's why God made windshields a lot bigger than the rear view mirrors in our vehicles. Okay. I mean, you know, I think in life, and this is just, again, take it or leave it, but in life, I've lived longer than I thought I was going to live, which I guess that's both a blessing and a curse, but, I've seen a lot, and you and I have seen a lot, been through a lot, and had a lot of experiences. But, you know, there are a lot of things, I think, right now that people individually, especially people who are, folks, there are people listening to this program tonight, I think, who are really introspective more than retrospective, or perhaps both, and looking at where they're at, where they're going, and that's a good thing. Maybe some people who are listening to this, their hearts are heavy. Look, I'm not a preacher. I don't know. Okay, but I do know this. I'm a human being, and I experience all of this myself. And now, having said that, you know, we want best for our children and our grandchildren. And you had mentioned earlier, and these are all kind of random thoughts, all just bouncing around in my noggin. You had said earlier about, you know, the husband and wife not being on the same wavelength with respect to the President Trump or MAGA, or having the same political or even in some cases spiritual ideology, okay, so which creates conflict. And you might be there too. Not you, Steve, but people listening might be there too. There's a lot going on right now. I mean, and I think what we're seeing in the physical right now, I think, is the manifestation of what the war in heaven is all about. And I think for our entire history, from Adam and Eve forward, especially now, I'm not sure, you mentioned pre-Adamic civilization. I'm not sure if that was the case, but at least from after the fall in the garden to the present, I think we're seeing this spiritual battle playing out in on Earth. And you know, just as God has emissaries, the devil has emissaries too. Now, I guess I'm gonna, am I right on that? I mean, Steve,
yeah. Because again, one third of the angels, and one of the questions I can't answer, I got this the other day. Well, how many angels are there in heaven? And what's a third of how many angels are in heaven? Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know. God knows. And they were trying to trip me up. And I said, if something's innumerable, and how do you divide even something that's innumerable except one third of whatever that number is how many of the angels that saw God's glory, that heard the heavenly music, that were in the presence of Almighty God, yet one third of those entities got their eyes off of God and onto Lucifer, who wanted to be God. And that's why I tell people, on earth, he demands that his worshipers refer to him as Lucifer, because it means the light bearer. And the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. Now, there are many antichrists. John says this, anybody who denies Jesus Christ as Lord is the spirit of antichrist. He's not saying they're the antichrist, but the antichrist will make war on anyone that worships God, because he wants the worship of him to be able to say to God, see, I give them anything they want, and they worship me. And I don't know if God said game on, but he said, you know, I don't know this, but he gave the devil permission, but he also commanded the devil that the devil had to warn the people of what was coming ahead of time. You know why that is? Because the scripture is even so true in the realm of the spiritual affecting the physical realm, is that God says, surely he will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Now, that's a specific calling. Not everyone's a prophet, I know, except when YouTube. YouTube came on and everyone's a prophet or a prophetess. You know, getting word. And look, I mean, if they're really getting words of the Lord, then they would not be on YouTube going, well, I got this word today, and I got this word today, you know. The point is that does the word they're sharing transform people's lives? And that's why the word of God is considered a sharper than a two-edged sword. Roman centurions, and they carry this sword. By the way, those are short swords. That was up close and personal fighting. But the sword, which is called the gladius, G-L-A-D-I-U-S, I'm not so sure people would feel very glad, you know, getting run through the heart with that. But the point is that it was designed to take on the opponent coming at you and also be able to take on the one coming from the side of you. Excuse me. So it was able to cut both ways. But it's also that sharp enough thing to convict us of sin. I'll tell you something. I love your statement about a windshield and a rearview mirror. You know, I got to share this because it really is a neat statement. And I people know, I've talked about it long enough, I really like fast cars. As a matter of fact, you know, if I had the chance, now look, I don't have the quickest response anymore, and I don't have the pedal and brake control. You know, as long as my knee doesn't lock up, I'm okay. But the Lord, and I want you to understand this. This is very cool. When you go to any of the racetracks, I had to do this at Laguna Seca. Any of you have ever raced on that track? It's a pretty cool track. They drive you around in the car and they show you. You have to enter the curve and you have to exit the curve. And then they said something interesting, Doug. They said that you always want to keep constant RPM because most people, when you get a racetrack, they basically are running whatever RPM. And formula cars are the best example because some of them have now cockpit cams, and you can see this. If you know what a tachometer is, their tachometers don't go like this when they go into a curve and then go up like this when they go into a straightaway. They keep constant RPMs. And, you know, and some pretty interesting teachers, and they're really good race car drivers. And they said, when you lose your RPM and you lose sight of your track, you're going to lose the race every time. And here's how the Lord explained it to me. He said, Steve, when you're on a track, do you keep looking to your side, looking to your rearview mirror and seeing where everybody else is, or are you looking to the finish line? Doug, I hope this sets somebody free because I'm telling you, the minute you look to the side, that's what all the skeptics say, the minute you look in the rearview mirror, and by the way, most race cars don't have them, and when you're looking through the windshield, you're always getting a focused image of the track. And what's so neat is after they drive you around the track, they make you walk the track, okay? And the tracks sometimes can be a couple miles.
That's smart.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, and so that's what separated the boys from the real racers. And the real racers I've known, you know, some pretty good racers and race car drivers, they never lose track, pun intended, of the track. They know every corner of the study. They know they're going to have to, at 200 miles an hour is different than 160 miles an hour. And they know they have to brake, but as they're braking, they're downshifting to keep the tachometer stay in place. Different gears, you'll hit the same RPM, but you never want to lose track of the track. And you never want to lose your RPM. And in that little discussion that God gave to me, because it was from my real life experience. And what I learned from that is simple. Keep your eyes on the prize, not on those who despise. That's a little thing I made. And you know, in essence, we all lose track of the prize. And I want to make this clear to you, Doug, and everybody else. None of us stand in anything we failed or succeeded at. We stand because we're covered with the blood of Jesus. And God makes it so easy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, be baptized, and you'll be saved. The baptism is a visual representation of going into the water and coming out of the water as a new creation. And that's why John the Baptist, he sees Jesus coming, and John the Baptist knew Jesus when he was in his mother's womb, and Jesus was in Mary's womb, and the babies kicked when they're in the presence of Jesus. And John the Baptist basically said, this is word for word, Lord, I'm unfit to even, you know, tie your sandal. And Jesus said a cool thing to him. Jesus didn't say, you're right, you know, let's skip the baptism thing. He said, suffer it to be so, John. In other words, allow it to be so, John, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. That the scripture might be fulfilled. So I'm telling everybody, get over trying to be good enough. You never could be, you never will be, and you never were. But realize God's redemption is the free gift that God gives to every man that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's why when Paul in the Romans, I get a kick out of all these people that try and take on the Apostle Paul. God must find humor in that because Paul starts out in Romans 1, I think 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what shame is in the puke pits? The puke pits are the pulpits. And the reason I call them puke pits, Jesus said, I would that you be either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew, which is another word for vomit you out of my mouth. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be a coward. I don't want to basically, you know that I'm just so, I'm afraid people will hate me. Of course they're going to hate you, but it's more important to be loved by man who's going to hell or embraced by God who's going to be your everlasting light, your everlasting source of all blessing. And what's neat? Look, we know, Doug, and you brought it up. I think it's good you brought it up. There are so many out-of-body experiences that simply say, there's no words to express what I've seen. And I'm trying the best I can to express the roar of war is coming to your shore. And the roar, and that, you know, people see me at my home, that's where I am now, versus my office. That's why I have the lion behind me. Those, I used to have a lot of them, but I don't have that much room in my new office. It's really small. But every time I walk into my office, I look at that and I see the roar of a lion, because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, he didn't say the righteous are as mousy as Mickey. I know I'm making this, you know, or as frail as, you know, a stick figure, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I'll say this to people, because there's people listening to this program tonight. Your strength is in Jesus. Your boldness comes from Jesus. The power to keep you through life, no matter what we're going to go through, and we're all going to go through something, and in essence, he'll take us through, he'll be with us, and there's no place where God ever took his people off the front line or the battle line. You know, Sennacherib, one of the head of the Assyrian army, I think one angel, it says in the scripture, killed 185,000 guys. Well, I sure don't think he had a guilty conscience, because it was Hezekiah, who's a righteous king, put on sackcloth and ashes and came before God. The army was insurmountable. The army was undefeatable. Same thing like Jehoshaphat. God told Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, to send out singers and people with musical instruments and to worship the God. And so when the armies came against Jehoshaphat, guess what? God gave the victory. God fought for his people who saw their only hope is in the Lord. And look, you know, I can't, and I'll say this, no man, I can't outsmart the devil. I can't outthink him. I can't out, and people get in trouble when they think they can do that. They can't. And that's why so many people are going to be martyred in the last days prior to the end of the age, because, you know, in essence, the devil wants to kill every man, woman, and child, but he especially is focusing in on Christians. But we don't have to be afraid. I have a friend who takes my Saturday show, The Q Files, which is by subscription only, and Pastor Jonathan Sosa. Well, number one, he's a Marine. And number two, you know, he's not squeamish. He's not skittish. And when we first met in person, you know, I mean, I liked the guy immediately. Now, why am I lifting up? Because he's a warrior. He's not ashamed of Jesus. And he lives in some pretty rough parts of Miami. And I remember, oh, good night, 40 years ago, living in, I think, Hialeah, Florida, and then going into Miami. And even that many years ago, you'd hear gunshots in the night and people screaming. And the guy I was staying with at his house, he had a giant fence that had crushed glass on the top and had barbed wire. I thought, boy, that's pretty cool. And the thing is that most people don't recognize the invisibility of the battle that's against us. I went on with Brother James Williams. I did his show, I think, two nights ago. I have never, and this isn't flattering, I have never seen a man pray with such an anointing and such power and such respect for Almighty God. Never have. Now, he didn't agree with me on giants, and I didn't agree with him, okay, on his take on giants, and he let me give the testimony. He said, look, it's not the religion of giants. Some people have accused me of that, of teaching another gospel. I said, God gave me the commandment to do this. And Chuck Missler made the statement. I never knew he made the statement. And he said this, everyone. He said, God used He named me to bring the whole area of the giant spiritual warfare and the unseen world of demons, fallen angels, and giants to the public. And Tom Horn told me that just, I think, maybe 2 months before he passed away. And Tom was very, very sick, very sick. And so we're watching the generals go. We're watching God take him home. And one guy wanted me to give an answer. Well, why did God take Russ Dizdar home? And I said, brother, I don't know how to answer your question. And if you're watching, I don't. I said, only God can tell you that. But I said, God does what he does because he's God. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, and trust me, it's high, you know, so are my thoughts and my ways beyond your thoughts and your ways. And yet we all want to put our spin on God. That's why the Word of God keeps us focused. I want to say one last thing about Diego Garcia. Most people know that one of the B-2 bombers went down and had to declare an in-flight emergency and had to land in Honolulu and for, you know, the repairs. If people understood the fate of the military, the state of the military, the plan, destruction of the military, the planned destruction, the military-industrial complex payoffs, and guess what's happening? Those payments are being made known. And it's interesting that everybody who is coming to Doge and President Trump, and President Trump is appointed Elon Musk, and look, you're dealing with a genius in Musk, and the demon rats and the Republicans, what would I call them, zombie cons, I think that's a good word. And the technofarians, here's a good word. I combine technocrats and Luciferians, and I call them technofarians. One of the things that scares some of the most advanced technocrats on the planet is the fact of tapping into the spirit world. That freaks them out, even though they worship the spirit world. And I think it's important that people recognize something. I remember being on your show, and this is to put people in remembrance. Look, I've been doing this for 50 years. That doesn't give me any authority. It doesn't give me anything except experience. And my experience has been on the Word of God. My experience has been in the name of Jesus. And I find that so many people out there that have access to grind with me, you know, they've never won one person the Lord. I can tell you big name ministries who are experts on everything, and but they don't win, and they never name the name of Jesus. So I have to ask myself, Lord, why don't they name your name? Why do they use my name and try and blame me for things I never said when I quote the scripture? And why I basically figured out that God's answer is perfect is because of jealousy and envy. And Doug, I remember being on your show 20 years ago, and the Lord literally spoke the two most deadly sins in the body of Christ will be jealousy and envy. And it will express itself like this. If I can't have what you have, I'll destroy you. I'll destroy you. First murder, jealousy and envy. You know, Cain slew Abel because he was jealous of Abel's sacrifice. And God said, I don't want the works of your hands, Cain. I want the works of your heart. We know the story. But I want to share this, one of the most powerful things I've ever said on talk radio. 20 years ago, and you can look it up on the internet, at least 20 years ago, maybe more than that, I said that when America needed its airplanes and aircraft, that they're going to fall out of the sky. And I said, that's based on the fact the Air Force declared war on God, on Jesus, and on all of the chaplains. There are some chaplains that sued, the Air Force and won. But they were, they were openly advocating for they wanted witches, warlocks, they wanted shamans. They wanted everybody that was into the occult, into the dark arts. And same thing with the Army and the First Earth Battalion, General Michael Aquino. I don't know if it was general at that time, but Michael Aquino, A-C-Q-U-I-N-O. That the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, that was kind of like an aberration of that whole program. So what I want people to understand is, with God not on the side of America, yeah, I remember Superman. At least he was smart enough to make the claim in the introduction was the American flag, truth, justice in the American way. There's no truth in the land. There's no justice in the land. And the fact that that secret star chamber of justices even exists to basically foul Donald Trump and foul the whole revamping. And you know what they're terrified of? What's called a real simple thing, financial forensic analysis. I don't care who's good at laundering money. I used to know the guy that was one of the best money launderers in the world. And I was in, I think it was a silver dollar or something, silver something hotel in Reno. And he basically got a call from Louis Free and his control. And he called him Admiral. And I don't remember the guy's name, Admiral so-and-so. And he said, they're going to send a Gulfstream in and pick me up, and obviously in Reno. And sure enough, the Gulfstream came in, picked him up. And you know what his goal and job was? To teach all the agents how he could do what he did. Money launder and move large amounts of money. I mean, large amounts of money from nation to nation. So that's one of the things that God has been so gracious. And I mean, trust me, he was not a nice man. I tried to win him to Jesus and I wasn't able to. And, you know, if I could tell you this, he was placed by a certain intelligence agency in one of the most prominent ministries in the 1970s, 80s. Very famous. And you know why? To basically flatter the man and to give him all sorts of cash gifts for his ministry. And the word that most people would use is basically buy him off. So the life experiences I have, I want to share with people. And again, it's critical at this point. So I'm telling you point blank, when America goes to war, America will not win. I love my country that was. I can't even recognize the one that is. And God will not fight for us. He'll fight against us. And technology will be the things that is our undoing. And now there's a new God in town, according to Bill Gates. He wants all religions to fade away and everybody can worship the same AI God. You'll get all the answers you want to all your questions, and it'll be soothing, seductive, and destructive for eternity. So, Doug, again, I want people to take this to the Lord in prayer. And again, the roar of war is coming to your shores. And if we go against Iran, Russia and China have made defense pacts with them, but the official one with Russia at least goes in on April 15th. I believe that God was raising up Russia to bring destruction on America. And people say, well, they're all communists. Putin's a communist. No, he's not. We got communists that were presidents of the United States, not the current one. But we've got those who have destroyed our country from within for all of the money that they're given. How does the next president have, you know, $20 million homes in Dubai, $20 million estates here, $20 million? I go, gee, that's hard to come up with on a president's salary. Well, it's his book report or his book royalty. No, it isn't. You know, if you got a book. So anyway, God bless each and every one. And it's getting so late that I want to make sure everybody is right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as I see it or not as I declare, but as the Word of God declares, all who come unto Jesus, God will no way turn aside. Thank you, Doug.
Steve, thank you very much. A lot was said tonight, and you know, we took some side roads, but it really came back to the same place. So, we have to watch for. I have a feeling something is brewing with Iran. Obviously, you're signing a pact with Russia. And Iran backing the Houthis and all, man, it's just a mess out there. But it was created, I think, by the demonic elements within our own government. And Steve, I just want to thank you very much for being part of tonight's show, pointing this out. God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Eric. Bye-bye, and, guys.
All right, bye-bye. That's Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, Renaissance Precious Metals. Look, if you're It's all available from stevequayle.com. The link is in our program description guide. You know what? I apologize, folks, for if you didn't take a look at our website yesterday, you would have known that we were off last night. I apologize for that, but I didn't send anything out via social networking. I probably should have, but I didn't. But I'll tell you what, things are getting a little bit hairy out there, and you know, I'm going to say this as we close out our first quarter of 2025. We're about